The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Before this show was over, that would be phenomenal. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I have no idea. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. This is it right here. We don't know what we're doing. I mean, that's it. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, there it is. Here it is. People who listen to the audience are prayer warriors. And we are asking you, what can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That is what we're asking. If you got something you need prayer for, here we are. Now let's keep it super duper easy. If you want to reach out and say, I got a prayer request, I need prayer for this, I need other people praying for me, you call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week on a Monday with great faith and expectation.
Aww.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, my friend. How was your weekend?
It was good.
It was good? Did you have to come in here on Saturday to work?
I had to come in Sunday.
Oh,
yep.
Sunday.
It was only for a few hours.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, that is very kind of you to do. I want to say that. They paid you for it, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's not that kind. No, I'm kidding.
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was productive. I actually worked on my rehabbing a little bit on my knee. That helped a lot. And then I did watch a little bit of hockey and was pretty happy with some of the things I saw there from a Detroit point of view. We'll get to that down the road if it becomes necessary. And had a very productive and accomplished weekend. So that was really good. I was actually pretty happy with that. So there you go. I did have a couple of moments, and I'll confess this because people are thinking, oh, when people get on the radio, oh, these guys, everything is perfect. Their life is perfect. There's never a problem. Yesterday, I definitively sinned by over-complaining to the Lord about a couple of things. But he spared my life and did not take me out, which I deserved. But anyway, so I did have that couple of moments. But then repentance is a wonderful way back in. That's all I'm going to say. If you do something wrong, I've done stuff wrong. You do stuff wrong. If you do stuff wrong, don't try and be prideful about it. Just go, I'm a mess. Now look at you might be a mess, but let's just point this fact out. You might be a mess, but you're God's mess. And he loves you, and he's going to care for you and take care of you. If you've got a prayer request, not a problem, reach out to us by phone. If, in fact, you have a praise report, something you want to share, something the Lord has done that's awesome, right? I can't be the only person that has some cool things happening. You guys have great stuff happening. Share it. It glorifies the Lord. It reinforces it in your own life. Plus, it blesses other people. How about that? These things are important for us to be together, to do together, to function together, to carry one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, sharing it with one another, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. If you got a prayer report, a prayer request, you got something going on you need help with, you got something you just want to share, like I just shared that I had a couple hours yesterday of being a bad kid. You know what? It feels good to be honest about it in the context of I'm not being dishonest about it. It's what happened. And then the Lord's like, you know, you like walking, right? Yep, okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the point being that sometimes sharing with one another is a real blessing. Sometimes it's an unloading. Sometimes it's an empowerment. But it's all about doing this stuff together. As we further the kingdom of God, you spread your arms out and you bring in as many people with you as you are heading towards Jesus. Now, maybe you don't want to make a phone call. You're like, no. Okay, then text. That's pretty safe. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, at, A with a circle around it, he must increase. From John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, .org, because we're a nonprofit entity and group. Lewis needs prayer for his marriage, and so we're going to pray for that right now, because why? That's what we do. We pray for people. Why? Because the Lord answers prayers. Plus, he wants prayers for his grandkids. I don't know any grandparent ever that I've ever met that doesn't want prayer for their grandkids. Seriously. That's just a good call. Let's pray. Let's come before the Lord right now. On behalf of Lewis and his wife, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and first we thank you. And again, Lord, I apologize for whining more than I should have. I'm sorry. But I do want to thank you for everything. Your graciousness is so fantastic. Your mercy is just incredible. Your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you for this morning right now. We praise you for it. Lift up Lewis, lift up his wife, both of them. Lord, it's hard. There's hard times. People go through a lot of difficult times. Sometimes the things come to an impasse and it cannot change. Sometimes it just needs a lot of grace, healing, and forgiveness. But every marriage, good, bad, or indifferent, just needs more of you. And so we're asking for you to bless their marriage and help them in their lives. Let them focus on you first, them on one another. And Lord, we pray that for everybody who's in any kind of relationship, whether they're a spouse, a sibling, whether they're a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, all our focus is first to you, seeking first the kingdom of God, making sure that we got it straight with you first, then the other things, keeping our priorities right. So we ask you to bless and help them and encourage them and bring healing in for their lives and love on them, because Lord, love covers a multitude of sins, and you teach us that, and love really helps in a marital relationship. So, Lord, we ask that you bless Lewis and his wife in that situation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so going right into it because we got so – you know, I keep thinking we need 2 hours. I don't know what it is. You know, I just keep thinking we need more time. This is just – I just keep thinking I'm rushing through everything.
There's some days you're thinking maybe 5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes like boom, boom, boom. All right, so we want to get into this. We're in 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we talked last week in 2 Timothy chapter 2 about verse 2 and 3, which says, the things you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Guess what verse is coming next? One that's been misused quite a bit. Here we go, verse 4. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, so first of all, let's just talk about the reality of this verse. In this context, it talks about spiritual warfare, entanglements. It talks about being a soldier. There's war. And he just got done saying you got to endure hardship as a good soldier. There's a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. Stop forgetting that Satan is active. We're going to talk about Eve and Satan in the next 60 minutes. Hey, the enemy is active. One of the great teachings from Jesus is in his parable when he's talking about the wheat and the tares. As Jesus said in the communication of that parable, an enemy has done this. It's important to understand Satan's against you. He'll do whatever he can that he's got the ability to get away with to create problems for you. In your marriage, in your life, in your health, in your finances, in everything. Sometimes the warfare is just the Lord trying to teach us to move forward. Sometimes the Lord's teaching us to stand up against the enemy. And so you've got that going on too. And so one of the things in verse 4 is no one entangles himself, who's engaged in this warfare, the spiritual warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So let's talk about that. This subsequent verse has been misused to establish points both for and against life's politics. That's just the truth. It's been used that way. Don't say it hasn't. It has. However, the verse has nothing to do with that. That's what's amazing. It states that we should not entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. That does not imply you should not get involved in politics. It does not imply you have to get involved in politics. It says neither. It signifies that earthly matters are temporal, they're temporary, and the lives that we put the most energy into should be the focus on the eternity. Jesus didn't say lay up treasures for 50 years from now. He said lay up treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not the golden age of this earth, the golden age of the new earth and the new heavens. And people get, just be honest, people get caught up in the affairs that are taking place today. I love one of our brothers, one of our listeners, we were texting, and just one of the things that he had brought up about, you know, the news. Every time something's on the news, it's a new conspiracy, it's a new this, it's a new that. It's like people who live by those things are totally entangled up in the affairs of this life. It's true. You just, you wake up, you got to look at the news first. What's the latest thing? What's going on with the Democrats? What's going on with the Republicans? What's going on with Joe Biden? What's going on with Donald Trump? It's like the first thing you got to know. It's like breathing. It's like breakfast in the morning, or it's like coffee in the morning. Hey, first of all, forgiveness is in the blood, but waking up is in the coffee. Okay. Second of all, the first thing you should not be doing is inundating your brain with that stuff. That's the worst thing we can do. The first thing we should do is acknowledging the Lord and setting a time aside saying, thank you, Lord, so we can come in more fresh. But that's a decision that people have to make individually. What I'm trying to communicate here is that if you want to get involved in politics, get involved in politics. Don't be yelling at people that don't. And if you don't want to get involved with politics, don't get involved with politics. Don't be yelling at people that do. God puts burdens on people's hearts. Stand away from that. That's not your call. What is that to you? Thou followest me. That's the call. But the other part about this is that people use scriptures like this to make their case. Stop trying to make that case. This case is about laying up treasures for heaven. Eternity is the goal. And I want to say this, and I'm going to say it really kindly. There is an oxymoron are two words that kind of contradict each other. So, for example, jumbo shrimp. Get it? Jumbo shrimp. Get that? Okay. That's fun because it's shrimp and it's okay. Let me tell you one that's not fun, okay? An existential Christian. No such thing. That's a true oxymoron. And the reality is you, as a Christian, are living your life for that which is to come. The heavens and the eternity and the new earth that is to come. That is what we are a part of. We are citizens of heaven. There's a movie. I like sci-fi movies, okay? Most people know that by now if you've listened to the show. And in the first Star Trek remake, okay, the very first one, the young William Kirk who steals a car gets pulled over by the police officer, and he goes, you know, citizen, and it's like citizen of the world kind of thing. Citizen of the world, pull over. And it's like, here's the greatest thing you should understand. You are not a citizen of the world. You know, you're not. No, wrong. Read Hebrews. Hello. Chapter 13 or chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of the New Jerusalem. You are the citizen. You are a citizen of that which is to come. This is not our hope. That is our hope. And for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, knowing what was coming. That's how we do it. Each and every day. Oh, Dave, it's Monday. I got to do this now. Every day. And the reason is because when we get caught up in the worldly affairs, guess what happens to your spiritual man? He starts starving. She starts starving. Why is that a problem? Because you're not functioning in that which God has given you, the ability to walk above, rise above, walk up, not just tread water and survive, but to prevail. And we're shutting that down. We can't do that. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of these lives. Doesn't mean you never see it. You don't get caught up in it. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to honor him with what you think, say, and do. Then remember what you're doing and why you're doing it. It's to spend eternity with God. To dance on streets of gold with one another. And to enjoy and enter into things so powerful that eye cannot see, neither can ear hear, neither can enter into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. Hallelujah. You say amen? If you're not saying amen, amen, then you're saying oh me. I just want to point that out. All right. Hey, you're going to take a deep breath right here and do our first trivia question. This will be a true or false. Your answer, by the way, is in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. Jesus compares the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, to the parable of a mustard seed. Is that true or false? Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to the parable of the mustard seed. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. Is that true or false? If you think you know the answer, you can give a call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. We hope that won't hurt you. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. For those that are thinking kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, are those the same? Yes, they're interchangeable. People that try and make a distinction are losing it. Simple question. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a parable of the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the parable. Is that true or false? Mark 4, 30 through 34. No trick question. Straightforward. Is it true? Is it false? If you think you know the answer, reach out and tell us. In the meantime, we're going to send you up to the website. And why are we doing that? We're sending you up to the website because there's cool stuff on the website. We want you to check it out. There's an opportunity to give, yes, but there's an opportunity to receive. If you go on the website, there's cool stuff up there. Check it out on the website. It could be an audio. It could be a video. It could be an article. It could be an opportunity to get some free literature. There's some book material up there that's free. There's a lot of stuff up there, but you got to check it out to find out. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Wow.
I agree.
Yeah, I have to go with that one. I have to say I agree with that. I'm with Jacob on that one. All right, so bottom line is, trivia question, then we're going to go right back into the teaching. Let us be aware. Lettuce, bacon, and tomato. Okay, here's the trivia question right here. It is, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to the parable of the mustard seed. Is that true or false? Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. Again, if you want to reach out, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Cool. For those that are praying for me, Noel, and so on, and got us in your prayers, please pray. A lot of warfare that we've noticed in the last couple of days. We're just kind of peeking it up there, so I'm going to get the Kingdom Prayer Warriors on that pretty soon. A lot of warfare peeking its head up, and that's part of the issue that's being discussed, and we're discussing right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, if you're a person that's like, I don't even know what any spiritual warfare is, you need to read this. This is what it says. It's very important. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6. The hardworking farmers must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Wow. So Paul, in writing to Timothy, remember, this is superbly important because this is his last, this is it. This is the last epistle he's writing. This is the last we're aware of. So he's providing three examples of what the Christian life resembles. Listen to the three examples: a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. You know what's not on here? Somebody who's lazy. Soldier, an athlete, and a farmer are very active, right? It's crucial to note all three of these roles require significant effort and commitment. No soldier, no athlete, no farmer has a life that is simply a walk in the park. If you're a soldier, you're training for warfare, life and death. If you're an athlete, you're training competitively, up early, bed late, doing the best possible things. If you're a farmer, nobody's working as hard as you. Nobody, I mean, that's just, you're just doing all of it, even to not just feed your family, but to feed other people. These are three phenomenal illustrations. But I want to make sure you understand, no soldier, no athlete, no farmer has a life that's merely a walk in the park. The first definition is that we should please our captain, who is Jesus. The second definition, by the way, is that we should compete according to the rules as an athlete. What are the rules? That represents the truth. I mean, isn't that great? Otherwise, we'll receive nothing. And the third one is a hardworking farmer who gets to enjoy the fruits of his labor. That's why these are phenomenal. But look what he says next. These are the things I get super excited about. Paul states then this when he says this in verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Listen to me. Listen, 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 listen. Paul states, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. It's evident that people would hear things that people that Paul wrote. They'll hear them. And we even hear things when people are preaching from the pulpit, right? We hear, oh, that's really good. But sometimes we don't process them very well. That's even true on radio. We'll hear something and say, oh, that's really good. And then it doesn't process through. We need God's grace to help us understand the truths that we encounter. And we need his grace to help us understand them fully. Without the help that comes from God, we'll never grasp them. We'll think, whoa, that's really good. I got to use that, and then not use it. And that's a mistake. And then verse 8, Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Previously mentioned, Paul provides formulas for the gospel and salvation throughout his writings. It's Jesus Christ, in this formula, the seed of David, raised from the dead. That's this formula. This formula differs from others. Why? Because there's a multitude of formulas in the scripture, but it's pretty straightforward and simple. The gospel is about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. In every formula, that is the centerpiece. And that is what is good news. In fact, that is the core of good news. that Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, and that gospel centers around Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Of all the stuff we come up with, and all the stuff that we say, and all the wisdom, and all the good way to live, and all that stuff, without Jesus raising from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. It centers on Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You get that? How critical is that? Exceedingly critical. We live forever because of the resurrection. The trivia question that we asked in regards to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to the parable of the mustard seed, Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. Is that true or false? And the answer is, it is true. It is decided. That is correct. It is true. It has been decided. All right, if you're in San Diego, if you're in Denver, or if you're in Detroit, go to HeMustIncrease.org and click on the Listen Live. If you're in Texas, just hang out as we prepare, taking a short break, then we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you know, it's, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me. I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the freedom for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our – you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, it's the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free. I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.